morning is Omni Tech Corp. against MPC Solutions.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Jeff Davis, and I represent MPC Sales and MPC Computers. This case involves the enforceability of a provision in an asset purchase agreement that says an independent accountant shall decide disputes concerning a seller's statement of net working capital, and that the independent accountant's determination is final, conclusive, and binding. My clients contend on this appeal that this provision should simply be enforced as written, and that this matter should be stayed pending a proceeding before the independent accountant to decide the merits of their objections to the seller's net working capital statement. And by way of background, this involved an asset sale of the end-user division from Omnitech to MPC Sales. The price was the assumption of liabilities together with the Omnitech's net working capital, which was the subject to various adjustments following the closing, with opportunities on the part of MPC to lodge objections. MPC did lodge objections. Omnitech took issue with those. And consistent with the language that I quoted above, initially the parties had agreed that this entire dispute would go to an independent accountant until that accountant, PricewaterhouseCoopers, sent its engagement letter. Omnitech's counsel wrote back saying that we think you should decide a legal issue and hire a lawyer first. At that point, I think there was a concern on Omnitech's part that that wasn't going to happen, and so they filed this lawsuit. The district court denied our motion to stay on the grounds that the independent accountant referral provision was not an agreement to arbitrate because of the expert's not as arbitrator's language.
Again, is Gore still a party below?
Gore is a party below. They are alleged to be an alter ego of MPC, and that case is still below.
They qualified under the diversity, right?
Yes.
They're a. It's not clear who is part of Gore. What is it made up of?
Gore's is a. Corporation, actually, not. They are
a limited liability corporation.
Gores, I believe, is not a limited liability corporation, but they are diverse from Omnitech, which is a Wisconsin corporation.
Right.
So, this is a commercially negotiated procedure designed to provide an expeditious, cost-efficient way to resolve technical accounting issues by an expert. Omnitech itself agreed with that position until it apparently became concerned and attempted to do what we believe manufacture a contract interpretation issue. The agreement is fully enforceable under the FAA, which governs in this situation, as well as Wisconsin law, which provides the governing law for the agreement is one to arbitrate. And some of the cases we've cited in our brief have enforced provisions very much like this. Now, the one hitch here is the basis for the court's decision, the expert's not as arbitrator's language, and the district court's decision that this means that it's not an agreement to arbitrate at all. We believe that position is flawed. There's no requirement in any of the decisional law that the magic language as arbitrators be used or specifies that the third-party neutral will act as an arbitrator. In fact, Wisconsin law has enforced provisions as arbitration provisions in all kinds of circumstances involving a party acting as an expert. Travelers versus Pierce, for example, the Supreme Court enforced a provision that provided for the binding.
So I'm puzzled. I'm going to ask this question of your adversary, too. But I'm puzzled, other than for purposes of appellate jurisdiction, what difference it makes whether this accountant is acting as an arbitrator or as anything else. if the parties agree by contract that somebody other than a judge is going to resolve their dispute, why isn't the judge obliged to respect the contract? I mean, what seems to have happened here is that the district judge said, if this isn't the magic word arbitration, I just ignore the contract. And that, I don't see why that could be right.
We agree, Your Honor. We agree.
So why are you disputing whether or not it's arbitration? Why aren't you just saying, we've got a contract, the contract should be honored, regardless of whether we call this arbitration or professional football?
That's our point, Your Honor, and if that's not been made...
No, your brief goes on and on and on and says this is really arbitration. I'm puzzled by the question why you aren't saying it doesn't matter whether it's arbitration.
Maybe as lawyers we all get hung up on nomenclature, but it is governed by the FAA. It would be our intention. And the FAA uses the term arbitration.
No one is arguing that this clause is invalid as a matter of Wisconsin law if it is not arbitration. The clause is valid one way or another. It's a contract. Contracts are enforced. Why isn't that the end of the dispute?
Well, we believe that this does act as a clause that would be an arbitration provision pursuant to the FAA, which has various standards, which we believe should be applicable here. For example, the ability to impeach that type of award would be very, very limited per the FAA. But I agree with you, Your Honor. This is it really doesn't matter what it's called.
If this were arbitration, of course, the question, if the court says it's not arbitration, that's why it comes up here. And if it were clearly arbitration, then we would say it was. It'd go back to the court, and it would go to the arbitrator, and that's the end of it. This is a little different because it is a contract. I think there's a dispute about what actually goes to this accountant, isn't it?
I think that is true.
If he determined it's not arbitration and it goes back, the court's still going to have to make some determinations about, I guess, whatever the contract calls for the parameters of what goes back to Pricewaterhouse as for the to settle this issue.
I think we part company a little bit there, Judge. This has been postured as a legal dispute concerning the meaning of the contract's terms in terms of the standards that would be employed by the independent accountant. We contend that in itself is an issue that would be decided by the independent accountant, just as in any kind of third-party neutral situation, the party would decide, for example, choice of law in an arbitration.
I guess my question is, in distinguishing this between a contract and statutory arbitration, and frankly, I don't know the answer, is to what extent is what's being argued. Maybe the court below can just say, okay, Pricewaterhouse, everything goes over to them, what's left of this. There still may be an argument of whether the contract is that broad. But I think that's, at least the way I look at that, is a distinction that there may still be more for the court to do below in interpreting this contract.
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor. The contract says that they will apply with generally accepted accounting principles as historically and consistently applied. I think any accountant, any CPA, is going to know exactly what that means. But the position they've attempted to take in this proceeding is that, in fact, they don't have to comply with generally accepted accounting principles. They only have to apply with their historical practices. They've attempted to write that portion of the contract out of it.
Which the court may well reject.
That's true. Or this court could also rule.
Well, we could.
I think there's a policy
behind
that.
That's sort of my question. Who decides that?
Well, we think the arbitrator should decide because...
Well, you call it an arbitrator.
Or the...
Pricewaterhouse.
The independent accountant should decide because it involves the standards which that independent accountant would make its decision. Furthermore, policy behind arbitration, where you don't want to send every case to court before going to arbitration, you've sort of defeated the purpose of the whole provision. But if this court were to reach that decision, or if a court had to reach that decision, there's some very instructive language in Moses Cone, for example, where the Supreme Court has said that, well, the Court of Appeals can even decide that issue if they need to, where the contract is, where all the facts and evidence before the contract is before the court. I see I only have a minute left. I'd like to save a little time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. But certainly, Mr. Davis. Ms. Sennett. Well, Ms. Sennett, you heard my question. What difference does it make whether this is arbitration or anything else? You don't make any argument that this clause is invalid as a matter of Wisconsin law. So why doesn't this person make the decision?
You take the position, Your Honor, that this is not an arbitration clause. However,
no, my question is why it matters whether you call it arbitration or raspberry.
And
it's just the word.
And assuming we call it arbitration or raspberry, then what we have to do is determine whether or not the dispute in issue here falls within that clause, whether it is an arbitration clause, and whether or not it was anticipated and intended by the parties that the dispute which has now arisen.
That I understand, but you argued in the district court, you appear to have argued to us, and the district court certainly held that if it is not arbitration, the district judge will just ignore it and resolve this dispute itself. And I don't see how that can be right. If it's a clause that is valid under Wisconsin law, how can the district judge ignore it?
The district court here found that it was not an arbitration clause. So we had the alternative.
Why in the world does it matter? You know, if you look at a standard contract, the parties will have 100 clauses in the contract, and maybe none of them are called arbitration clauses. But when there's a contract dispute, the district court has to apply the party's contract.
Correct.
So why would your position seems to be if the clause is not one for arbitration, it can be ignored. And I just don't see how that's possible.
I would respectfully submit that we are not saying that this clause should be ignored, but rather that if it is interpreted to be a type of an arbitration clause, regardless of the name, that we then need to look at the nature of the dispute to see if it falls under the premises of what the parties intended to bargain for at the time that they entered into this contract.
And this is a dispute about what accounting principles will govern.
That is correct, Your
so
Honor.
So why is this not an accounting-related difference within the meaning of the, I'm not going to call it an arbitration clause, I will call it 3.3D of the contract.
Okay. The clause was carefully negotiated after a lengthy period of discussions here in connection with the parties developing an outline as to how the assets of this company would be transferred and what would be done in the end with respect to the post-closing adjustment. And at the time they did that, it was anticipated that the rules were in place. Everybody knew the standards by which that post-closing adjustment would be then tested after the fact. Now what we are again back facing is what rules would apply. It doesn't have to do with whether or not the widgets were counted correctly.
One would think that this is precisely why the contract sends this dispute to an accountant. Instead of arguing to a judge about what accounting rules an accountant should use, this contract says, ask an accountant.
In this case, Your Honor, if you look at the contract, it defines the rules. They were carefully defined in Section 3.3 of the contract.
So the accountant will have to apply those rules.
And at this point, we do not have an objection, however, that is based merely on the numbers that were submitted, but it is based on the rules and whether or not GAAP, as defined in the contract, means the historical and consistent GAAP.
Look, as I'm sure you know, that's what 97.23% of all accounting disputes are about. They're not about how you add numbers together. They're about how you apply GAAP to the numbers you have found.
Your Honor.
And here we are.
If I might suggest that we submitted supplemental authority to the court earlier this week, the Westmoreland case out of the Supreme Court of New York, we believe that the facts there and the circumstances there are nearly identical to that which was which is before this court here. And in that case, the court specifically said that with a clause that was very similar to this, this is a rules-based decision and a rules-based dispute before you get to the accountant as to how this is absolutely going to be looked at from a numbers standpoint. So that when the court said in that case that the objections to the accounting treatment are breaches of warranty under the contract, what we are saying here is that the objections that were raised by the buyer in this case are not the small kinds of adjustments that were anticipated to be made post-closing, but rather now is an attack on the whole rule.
If this is right, you'll prevail before the accountant, and this will be all over.
We believe at this
point... But you don't seem to be willing to accept that an accountant might disagree with your view of accounting principles.
We could accept that, Your Honor. We did not negotiate for that in the first instance. And we are trying to get to the place where we thought we had the agreement before this deal was consummated, such that the rules were in place. All the accountant was to do was now to apply those rules to the facts. Instead, in this circumstance, the defendants are now asking that the rules be renegotiated. And that, we believe, is uniquely in the province of the court. Unless the court has any further questions. I've completed. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sennett. Anything further, Mr. Davis?
Just very briefly.
As the court has acknowledged, the standards that be applied here are generally accepted accounting principles as historically and consistently applied by OmniTech. That is a decision or in a process that an accountant should decide. As the court has also acknowledged, they are certainly willing or welcome to try to show the accountant why they don't fall within generally accepted accounting principles. Maybe our objections don't have merit. It might be that their historical practices fall within that range. But that is the issue, and that issue, the parties agreed, should be decided by an independent accountant. So I don't have anything further.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.